Before we get into today's episode, a big, big thank you to our good friends at Bloke in a Bar for all of the love and support for Dylan Friends. They really do believe in the show. They've been a massive support this year, and it's really given us the opportunity to grow the show, get out more content, and the bonus is it's an unbelievable drink too. Not too hoppy, not too fruity, and there's heaps of new stockers all over Australia. So make sure you go in and make your next slab of choice a Bloke in a Bar. The more we support them, the more they support us, which is incredible. In Victoria, you've got Duncan's, West Brunswick, Sellers, Mona Sellers, All Stores, Eve Central IGA and Liquor, Frenchie's IGA Glen Waverley, Bottle Mart Moe, in Western Australia, Ashbury Celebrations, Liquor Barons Northam, Liquor Barons Perth City, in Northern Territory, Hidden Valley Tavern, and in Tasmania, Celebrations Kingston. And what a wonderful weekend it is to try out some Bloke in a Bar, sitting at home, chilling out with a Bloke in a Bar, watching the AFL Grand Final, and this man run out doing his thing. Head to blokeinabar.com to check out the nearest stockers to you. The link will also be in the show notes, and make sure your next choice of slab is a Bloke in a Bar illy. Welcome back to Dylan Friends in this bonus grand final episode with young gun from the Western Bulldogs, Cody Waitman. This kid is a star on and off the field. If you didn't love him before this chat, you're going to absolutely love him after it because he's absolutely dominating. And it honestly was an honour to talk to him in such a big week, and I really do appreciate it. I did it different this week as well. Normally we get people on the show, we hit him up directly, but being such a big week it was, I didn't want to slide into any DMs and annoy players. So we did it properly. Got the media manager's number from the Western Bulldogs, Brooke Varney. Big shout out to her. She's an absolute star. Even though I butchered all my messages, I'd have no idea how she could even understand what I was saying. And even when she agreed to let us have a player, I was so excited. I sent to Sam, mate, we've got it. Okay, let's move on to the D's. Sent that back to Brooke. And that was embarrassing, but she still got around it. So big, big shout out to her, and she teed this all up. So thank you so much, Brooke, and thank you, the Doggies, for being a part of the show. We love you. But just on my main man, Cody Waitman, number 19 from the Doggies. It's his second year. He's had a bloody incredible year, averaging 10 disposals, 3 marks, 2 handballs, 7 kicks a game, and 2 tackles, nearly averaging 2 goals a game, which is in the elite status. And I think we've seen in the final series what this kid can do. He's seriously exciting and super, super looking forward to him getting back into the grand final, because it's I know he's built for the big stage, but... But yeah, it was an honour to chat to him. He's a super kid, has an incredible mindset for a kid at that young age. I just never knew. I didn't even know how to do my shoelaces up when I was 19 or 20, let alone doing what he's doing. So it was an honour to chat to him. He's an absolute star. Thank you, Bulldogs. Go Doggies. Here's Cody Waitman.
My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast.
Many ways I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Tears.
Strength.
I'm like, I run. She's like, everyone runs. I'm like, but does everyone go to the Olympics?
They're sitting there meditating, going, oh my God, I think I'm meditating. How good is this? I'm meditating.
Like, they had a Wu-Tang call. I was like, yo, Dylan, thanks for getting us in.
Just love it.
It's knuckle puck time. Yeah.
It's like Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Cody, my beautiful boy, welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast, my friend. It's an absolute honour to have you on in such an important week. Really appreciate you making some time for us.
Thanks, Dil. Pumped to be on here.
Exciting times, my friend. Now, firstly, how's the head feeling? It's looking good, but I'm hoping it's feeling good too.
The head's cherry, mate. She's all good, so ready to go if the Bevo wants me.
Mate, I'm sure the Bevo wants you. Again, we won't tell anyone this. We can take this out of the show, but give us a wink if you know anything about selection this week. I know you're in the best 22. You're one of my favourite players. Of the last month has been absolutely incredible. Have you heard anything about selection? Can we confirm that you're going to be debuting? Can we confirm that you're going to be ready to run out on Saturday next week?
No insight for you there. I won't be debuting though, but hopefully I get a run, and we'll see where we're at later in the week. But fingers crossed that I get the call up, but don't know yet.
Beautiful, mate. Geez, you've been in the news a lot lately for a lot of good things. You're buying shoes off people, you're finding vintage hats, and you're probably Essendon's most hated player of all time. Let's start with the first two. The kits have been incredible, mate. The vintage hat that you're running and the shoes. Give us a quick insight into this and the true story, because it's getting around a lot on social media.
I'm a bit of a hustler, so we love that. and I always was, so wasn't going to change once I got on the list. But no, the vintage cap, I was just strolling down to Brunswick Street. Mitchie Hannon told me there's a few good oppies down there, so I gave it a crack. And come across his Doggies hat. It was like $6. And I was like, geez, that's not bad. And then I wasn't sure if I was going to be allowed to wear it, because I was like 2011. And I'm like, wrong like logo and stuff. So I was like, oh, nah, we'll take it. Took it in, and the fellas are happy, and Bruce, he was wearing one too, so I sort of, in tandem, we got away with it, and the hat hasn't looked back. It's my game day hat, so I'm pretty superstitious, so as long as that's with us, then we'll be all right, and it's done the job so far, so the hat's done its job, but the shoes, I don't know, it's been taken a bit out of proportion, but I don't mind it, which we love, so... No, there's this fella that he didn't live near the city, and now I live in the city. And I wanted his shoes. I love the Charlotte Hornets, and I saw them. They popped up on my marketplace, and I was like, "How good's that?" And I had the right cash for $10 less, so I was like, "Hey, mate, I'll give you this next time you're in the city." And he goes, "Oh, I'm at the G actually tonight, if that works." So I was like, "Yeah, perfect. I'll be there too." Which I thought he'd connected the dots that maybe he knew my name or something. But I might have been a bit ahead of myself, and he didn't realise. And then I come out and meet up with him post-game, full doggies kit, and he's sort of like, he's pumped about it. Anyway, I give him the cash, and he goes, "Oh, I know your mate Brody Kemp from Carlton. Like, can I send him a flick?" And I'm like, "Yeah, easy, man." So we take a flick. Next minute, it's fucking everywhere.
That is unbelievable. So this bloke has come to have a trade-off marketplace with you, and he doesn't even know who you are. You've played a game. After that, gone out and met him just in the stands to swap over their shoes.
No, post game, so yeah, Collingwood post-game. Dogs. I was watching that one, so just said I'll catch up with you post game, mate, and got me Hornet shoes. So I was pretty happy and got the $10 discount.
How good is that? That is unbelievable. Well, hopefully, soon after a flag, mate, you'll be having heaps of cash. You won't have to worry about what you're spending it on. LaMelo Ball. Now I don't know a lot about basketball, but I know he does play for the Hornets. He must be one of your boys.
Yeah, love him. Yeah, big fan. Got a bit of style about him, and he's a beast, so love watching him. He's sort of why I'm on the Hornets bandwagon at the moment, pretty much.
Are you loving your American sports, everything? Like, is it just basketball? You get in the NFL as well?
Prior to getting to this club, I wasn't really huge on it all, but sort of impossible once you're here. Everyone loves it, so there's a few trying to get me on the NFL draft and stuff, but like those games go for like 4 hours, man. I can't sit still for like the length of this interview, so I don't know if that one's for me. But yeah, NBA has been pretty good. Been loving that.
Talk us through a little bit more about yourself, mate. As I said, you're a very exuberant young man. Absolutely love it. So much energy. Reminds me of myself when I was on a good day, probably 10 years ago. I've slowed down a bit since then. You're a surfer, you're a painter. What else is going on? So when I say painter, do you paint these surfboards? Like you shape and surf, you shape and paint the surfboards?
I don't shape them. I wouldn't mind doing that one day. That'd be pretty cool. I did a project in business on actually doing that, so it's all set up and ready to go. But no, I pretty much just like the old hustle. I was buying cheap boards on Marketplace. This is prior to the draft and then post-drafts, just right through. So I reckon I flipped like 50 now. And I just love painting and like art and stuff. So it's sort of like more of a hobby than anything. And then I had like 50 boards, so I didn't know what to do with them. And so I like sold them off, and like people were like actually liking them. And so I started making a bit of coin, and I just kept doing it, and like just for fun. But I was loving painting them. Like that was my off season, like pretty much. I'll just train and then come home and like see him back aboard and strap it up and paint it and like try all new things and stuff. But I was loving it.
Fuck, that's unbelievable. I'm getting a board. I'm going to get you to paint it. We can put it in the studio at Dylan Friend's headquarters.
Yeah,
that'd be unbelievable. So we'll talk about that after. Talk us through your surfing ability, mate. Like obviously you look the part. Where's the local?
Well, grew up in Officer, so it was Phillip Island, which still isn't that close, but I kind of like that, to be honest. Like, it's a bit of a journey, like, to go for a surf. Now it's urban surf, because I'm in Ascot Vale, and Essendon's just around the corner, but been loving Torquay, so head down there a bit, and I haven't had a surf in ages, to be honest, because we've been on the road and doing footy things, but I love it. I'm not bloody a pro by any stretch of the imagination, but I just enjoy being out there, and I don't know, it's pretty nice just chilling out in the waves, and you get a real, like, you feel like that natural high when you're sort of riding a wave and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
I really hate it when surfers say that, because I'm telling you now, as one person who loves surfing but is not very good at it, the last thing surfing is relaxing. I actually nearly died at Smith's Beach in Phillip Island, nearly drowned there, and I've nearly drowned at Backpackers Rip in Bondi as well, so... I get it when you say that it's relaxing, but for people that can't surf, it's actually life-threatening, and it is quite scary. So watch this space. Mate, let's talk about your footy. Obviously, pick 15 in the 2019 draft. We actually met a few years ago. I still remember you from the Telstra induction day at the AFL camp. You were absolutely all over the place. And I'm not just saying this now, but I was like, fuck, this kid is going to be very exciting. Do you remember back then?
Yeah, I remember that, mate. You and your umpire's kit, loving it. You put on a clinic that day. You were genuine humorous. they were good days.
What's the journey been like so far, mate? You played 3 games in your first year. I think you've said that you sort of psyched yourself out a bit in your first year in previous interviews. What'd you learn from that?
Yeah, I learned a stack off the first for 3 games, I guess. I don't know, it was a bit of a real learning curve, the whole hub and the whole art, the first year experience. And actually probably came together in a way because of you. I was doing a road trip, so I brought a car up in the hub. Didn't have one back home, so I was like, I'll buy one here and I'll drive home. And plenty of time when you're driving, so podcasting, love, big fan. And chucked on the Nick Haynes one, and that was probably a time for me where I was sitting there and I was like, shit, like, I'm a bit nowhere here. Like, you know what footy's like, you're never really certain of where you're at, or you don't really know what's going on a lot of the time, and you got to try and find comfort within that. But I suppose I was sitting there and I was like, geez, I've played 3 games. I've hardly touched the agate in 2 of them. And I was sort of like, for the first time, doubting myself a little bit with footy and stuff. And then Nick Haynes came on and he sort of, I don't know, man, he was speaking and I was like, I was listening and I was like, whatever he's saying right now, like, I'm connecting and like, I feel like I'm like getting this on a different level to what the rest of the people like would be getting it. And so I was like shit sort of started to come together. And I felt like that, like, it almost gave me the piece of the puzzle. And I sort of then, from then on, just started putting it together. But pretty much, I suppose, when he talked about routine and stuff, like, that was what was, like, hitting me, because I was probably came out of school and footy programs where everything's so structured and you sort of told what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And then I just became drafted and I was sort of just floating around a bit. And I was training hard and stuff still, but I wasn't really, like, organized or on top of life, really. I felt like I was sort of just playing catch up a little bit. And then a flow on from that was the performance anxiety that I was sort of like, I didn't want to admit. I was almost like in denial. Like, I didn't want that to be me. And then once I like realized that, okay, that's why I feel shit before games, or that's why I don't have energy before main session and stuff like that. And it's not my diet, it's not my energy, it's that I'm like probably not breathing properly prior to these big events that I'm excited and nervous about and stuff like that. And once I actually owned that and I was like, oh, like, fuck, that's what that is. I feel like it just changed everything. And I started to like embrace the pregame of a big event and enjoy those moments where like your body's telling you that you're alive, not that you're scared sort of thing. And yeah, from then on, I sort of started to really put the piece together. And I just got really curious with the mindset part of football and how that can be either a benefit or a, can work against you. And I probably worked against me in my first year, and then this year I'm pretty confident it's worked for me because I feel like I'm approaching games in the right way and I feel really confident and comfortable when I'm performing.
Fuck, that is incredible insight, and that is incredible self-awareness for yourself to be able to know that that's what's happening. Like, that took me till I was nearly 3 weeks ago to work out, rather than being a 20-year-old kid working that out at that age. So, mate, it's absolutely unbelievable you've been able to do that. What were some of the things you did to just bring yourself back into the moment? Was it just being aware of where you are, being present and just embracing, like you said, you said something there that really stuck out with me that I've never heard of. It was like embrace the moment that is, and when something hits you in the body, just feel it or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I think like just through my curiosity, I've come across so many cool things and I've just got this like list now of like quotes and stuff that I love and sort of try to live by. But honestly, like when you're talking on podcasts, I feel you in a way. I'm like, oh, this guy, like, he's had that moment that I've had kind of thing. Like, he's realised, like, what's going on. And it's pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of people out there. I'm super, super blessed with, like, people I've got around me that have also had that moment and sort of can bond on that and stuff. But, yeah, back to your question. Like, I think putting a routine in, like Hainsey talked about, and, like, to go a bit further into that story, I actually, one of my line coaches, he teed up a call that was going to come to me, and I didn't know what it was from. Jamie Maddox, he's a legend, and he sort of works with the first and second years at the club. And yeah, he got a call. He told me there'd be a call coming in and just have it ready sort of thing. And sure enough, Nick Haynes on the phone in the end of my car trip. So I got home and Haynesy sort of on the phone. We had a good like 45-hour chat, and man, he's such a legend, that bloke. I don't really know him at all. He just did it off his own back. And I pretty much from then on, I started to just set up my mornings and set up my nights. So have little routines at either end of the day, and then that sort of just keeps me in check. So I feel comfortable that once I've done that morning routine, then whatever happens in the next part of my day, like, I'm prepared for, I'm ready to go. And it's amazing how constant my energy feels every day. Like, I wake up now and I feel on every day. I don't sort of wake up like, oh, I feel sluggish today, and then the next day I feel great, or fluctuate like that. And so, yeah, I wind my day up in the mornings and I wind my day down. It's pretty similar, sort of same time to bed and stuff like that. And that just keeps me in check, I think. And the kind of person I am, obviously higher energy, I think it's sort of important for me to have that. And so I sort of keep it consistent.
Mate, that is absolutely incredible. Again, I cannot believe that. Nearly brings a tear to my eye to think that Hainsey's reached out, because I know how much he'd love to help people on that. And I'm a bit starstruck, to be honest, because I just did not think that you were going to absolutely school me today on life. I feel like I'm actually learning more off you today than you've ever got out of me. So no, I really, really appreciate it. You've been a fucking star. That is seriously impressive.
No, mate, you're the teacher.
No, not at all, not at all. Talk us through your game style, mate. It's a game that I love. It's so high energy. It's passionate. And I think that's why the AFL community, not just the doggy supporters, have fallen in love with you. Is it off anyone? Do you take inspiration from anyone else, like a Toby Green type forward that you know, loves to play that high half forward role for the team? Because, look, I've played that role, nowhere at the level that you have, but it is the hardest role in the game to do, and to do it consistently over a long period of time. It really doesn't get the respect that it deserves externally. I know internally it does. Who do you look to, and who do you like to model your game off?
Yeah, 100%. It can be pretty tricky at times. But yeah, 100%, I love Toby Green, man. I love watching him. He's like absolute freak. And like you say, that position, to do what he does, is so underrated. Like, he's unbelievably good. So love watching him. Papley, I love like his energy. I actually always loved watching him, and sort of, you know, his goal celebrations. He's sort of like up and about. And like, I feel like that can really give the team a kick. Like, when he kicks a goal, it's like, shit, like, everyone's pumping here for him and he's getting them going. And I sort of like that. I think, like, you want to get your value for money when you're kicking a sausage. So, yeah, I think that's great. But, yeah, there's heaps of players I love sort of watching and sort of trying to model my game on, and used to do a bit of edits on some other players and stuff. But, yeah, and I love that sort of side of it.
Hey, 15 games, 26 goals. That's fourth for your side this year. 11 goals assist, which is absolutely massive for a small forward, and exactly what you want to be doing, setting up everyone else. And you're also fourth for inside 50 marks, which is massive at this time of year. It's been a tough road to the grand final for the Dogs. You obviously had Essendon in that first final, Brisbane, Port Adelaide. You played incredible roles in all those games, especially the Essendon one, kicking those four snags, and obviously missing out on Port Adelaide. But how excited is it? Is the Doggies been, you know, it feels like there's a 2016 happening all over again here. I know you weren't a part of the team back then. You're probably still in school. But how is it feeling? Are they drawing back on this? Is there a bit of that underdog mentality really coming out?
Yeah, I think it sort of organically happened that way a little bit. Obviously, ideally, we finish the season well. We're top four and the favourite in a couple of games, but that's sort of not how it panned out. And, before we knew it, we're out of the four, and the underdogs going into a couple of games. And I don't know, there's this strange sort of feeling around the club that we do play our best when our back's against the wall, and that Western Suburbs type spirit, you know, up against a little bit, but we'll have a scrap and see how we go kind of thing. And you can feel that. It's not sort of something that's made up, but it's actually something that's sort of, we stood a bit of time. And yeah, it's exciting. Like you said, I wasn't a part of the 2016, but I've bugged a lot of the boys, asking them questions about it, and Easterwood and the likes. They're so good to talk to about those moments and what that was like. And it just builds that much hunger in you to try and have that. And yeah, it's pretty crazy to think that in my second year and in a couple of weeks, who knows, that could be something that happens.
Let's hope so, my friend. Cozzy Pickett and yourself actually share a little bit in common. Obviously, in the same draft, you're both the two most exciting small forwards in your age group. I think he was taken a couple of spots before you in that draft. But to think that you guys are going to be hopefully playing against each other in a grand final on the weekend's crazy. And even like Luke Jackson, Trent Rivers as well from the D's too. There's so many players from that draft playing in this game.
Yeah, man, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. You sort of always dream of playing AFL, and then to actually play in a grand final is almost beyond dreaming. It's just like, it seems so far away. And The fact that, yeah, that could actually be, that could be us on the weekend, and for one side of the table, it's going to be a successful day. It's pretty wild to think of.
Being the footy fan you are, and we spoke about it earlier, but about nerves going into this game, you spoke about your mindset and routine that obviously you're going through. What's the mind like going now into next week? Are you just pretty calm at the moment? When do you start building up towards that, and what's the rest of the team like?
Yeah, I think the double week, it's obviously different. It's the first time, and it's probably been a pain for the fans, but for the players, I think it's been great. It hasn't felt too crammed or anything yet. Today's been our first little morning of media stuff, so it feels like it's spread out a little bit more, which has been good. But yeah, like, it's pretty much, we're not obviously not switching off. It's hard to stop yourself thinking about the game here and there, but it doesn't feel like the game's tomorrow at all. So it's sort of, you can relax a little bit, which is nice, and soak up this next couple of weeks a little bit. And well, obviously we're still in the hotel quarantine, the doggies here, so yeah, we're limited with what we can do outside, but we're just really enjoying each other's company and a bit of Monopoly deal and whatnot, getting us through, which has been great.
One thing I love about the doggies this year, and it's been prevalent in their team for a long time, but it's the role-playing factor. Like, you look at guys like Taylor Dre at the moment, who's a star, but he's taking, you know, some incredibly dangerous small forwards. And one player last week that I thought it was just a massive step for this guy was Josh Shackey, to go and play on, like, Alir, nullify his game. You know, if he gets the all clear for this week as well, going to Jake Lever, it's where, like, players that, you know, have faced adversity before, but they go into finals and they step up and it can just give them that absolute amount of, like, confidence going in. How much did Josh Shackey's role get internally pumped up with the boys, and how much confidence will he take out of it?
Yeah, Shaq was, he was huge for us, obviously, and internally we really embraced that, and we talked about that a lot in our meeting, and there's so many boys that did those little things like you touch on, and those little role players that just get it done, man. We really sing them out around here, and our meeting was sort of, we always vote on players that sort of do those little, those jobs and those roles that are so important for us. And yeah, Shaq, he heavily voted, and there was other players too that each week had getting it done, and you build clubs off that, and success gets built off that too. So no doubt, without guys doing that, like, we're not here.
Fast forward to next week, grand final's on. You're doing some visualisation at this stage. If you don't win the Norm Smith, which is 99% chance of happening, and I'm going to be up there fucking celebrating very highly, who else is going to win it from the doggies?
Jeez, you could raffle a few. You know, Jacko's having his 30, so he's definitely a sniff. Bonty is probably too hard to go past. But then big Azza Norton, he'll be clunking them and hopefully kicking them. So, yeah, I reckon they're probably my three.
Cody, man, I honestly cannot thank you enough for this. I think we need to come into the studio as soon as we can, catch up, have a few beers and pick up this chat where we left off. I know I've got to let you go now, but you've rocked my mind today. I honestly didn't think that I was going to learn as much as I did. And, yeah, it's a credit to yourself, mate. You've done some incredible stuff. To hear what you've been able to identify in your own game and your own mindset and then action that forward, there's no surprises. You're performing the way you are now. So it's a real honour to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your love, and best of luck next weekend, mate. And hope the doggies can take home the flag.
Nah, thanks, Dil. It's good to chat, bro, Lolly.
If that wasn't enough for you and you want even more, you're in luck. Dylan Friends is now on Patreon. Dylan Best Friends. An exclusive loyalty subscription featuring the debrief podcast of each episode and bonus Q&As from Patreon members like this.
Favourite TV or film?
Favourite TV series? The old Simpsons. Seasons 1 to 12. Can't go past Breaking Bad either. And film, big Star Wars fan, massive Star
Lovely.
Wars fan.
Okay, wow.
And there's plenty more where that came from. If you'd like to learn more, you can head to patreon.com/Dylan Friends, or you can head to the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you like the show, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, leave a review, or even share with your friends. The show is produced by myself and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual production. The show is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you'd like to get in touch or suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, please email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.